Trey Anastasio is the founder of Phish, and he's the guy who broke up the band, too. Since then, he has released a couple of solo albums, one on Columbia Records and the other, the latest Bar 17, on his own label. The new one, produced by Bryce Goggins, who worked with Phish in the past, is a sprawling affair with almost 40 musicians involved. I asked Trey if there was a concept for the album way back when he and Bryce did the original sessions.
The idea may have been that over the previous 5 or 6 years when I was performing with Phish, I had a lot of solo bands going. As you know, some of them played here. I had my horn players and my big 10-piece band. And it started to get to the point where even on some of the Phish records, I would write music with... I like to collaborate, so whoever was around, I would write music with different people, and then Phish would sort of perform these songs very well, mind you. They would really own the songs. But I think on this one, the idea was to... present the songs in the form they were originally written in. So if I was to collaborate or write a song based on a musician I was playing with, they would actually appear on the record as opposed to sort of redoing it with another band. So these are the original versions.
Well, I was trying to figure out what was going to work best in this acoustic, and it's one that, you know, it's kind of obvious, it was just A Case of Ice and Snow, which is just you and acoustic, and is it John Medeski on piano? Or?
That's actually Ray Paczkowski, and that's a funny thing, and this is exactly what I was talking about, to use that song for an example. I hired a bunch of musicians to come record that song, and we played it as a big giant band, 6 or 7 people, and it just... didn't seem to convey the intimacy of the song. And then late at night, we played it one more time with just the two of us, and that's the version that went on the record.
Well, the version is beautiful, and I'd love to hear it today. Who actually collaborated on the writing of it?
This was, strangely enough, not a musician. This happens to me a lot, that I'll write songs with who's ever in the room. You know, and I was on a boat in the Virgin Islands with a friend of mine. His name's Kevin Hoffman. And I was writing this song, and he threw in a couple of lines. So he's one of the people. And the other guy is a musician. His name's John Cruz, and he's a Hawaiian singer-songwriter who was also on the boat, and he also chimed in on a couple of lines. But it's mostly me, I think.
It's a good one. This is A Case of Ice and Snow.
Okay. Windows, 3 long years to go. Winter, strung out, and she knows. Case of ice and snow. Flat out, nowhere left to go. Summer, sunshine, time to grow. Spun round, hung down, a case of ice and snow. Vision's gone, illusions, my decisions, and the walls begin to break down. Left me here alone. I'm cold and I'm spun round. Spun round. Thank you. vision's gone. Illusions, my decisions, and the walls begin to break down. Left me here alone, I'm cold and I'm spun round. A case of ice and snow, 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 spun round. So ice and snow. Just thinking how funny it is that I wrote that on a boat in the Caribbean.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Well, you probably came from winter before, right?
I actually did. I was there for one day, I think. I flew down.
That's one of the songs on Bar 17, the new Trey album. Trey Anastasio is here, and it's on Rubber Jungle Records.
Yes.
Your own record company.
Absolutely.
Wow.
President of Rubber Jungle Records. Yeah.
So send him all your... demos. No, don't. But speaking of reaction to Columbia, what happened with the Columbia situation, and did you decide to go solo?
It was an honor to be on Columbia Records, I got to tell you. I'm thrilled that I got to put out one record with them, considering they've got, you know, Dylan and Bruce Springsteen and Duke Ellington and et cetera, et cetera. We all know that. But I don't think it was a great fit, and especially not at this time. I was there for a year, and there was about 40 or 50 people that were fired in the space of time. A lot of people that I worked with that were friends, and you know, Donny Einer, the president, Will Botwin, and really great people. I enjoyed it very much, but it's a strange time at the major labels right now.
It would also seem, if somebody like you was just so much stuff, that having your own label, so much more control. You can put out something that only sells a few, you know, thousand copies, and you can still probably make money on it or whatever.
Yeah, I think that for a prolific musician or somebody who likes to go in different directions, it's not the best fit. If you're a big kind of million selling artist, that's the way they're built for that. And I put out a couple albums ago, I put out an instrumental album that was all sort of composed music. And I think I might put another one of those out soon. I'm working on one right now. So it's much better. It's for me. It feels more comfortable to have my own label. And I don't have to explain myself to anyone.
Not even us.
Except my one employee. I have one employee.
They're the vice, whatever. There's something kind of cool also. If I'm not exactly sure the rules of the contest, and that isn't what it's about, but you're kind of giving away a guitar lesson.
Yeah.
which is kind of fun. Do you think, and it's actually funny because you don't even have to particularly be a guitarist to win, but have you ever tried to teach other people?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I really enjoy it, actually. Yeah. There's a kid up in Vermont that I met. My daughter's a skateboarder. She's 9 years old, and she goes to the skate park. She's pretty good, actually. And so I hang out at the skate park a lot, and there's a kid there a couple weeks ago asked me for a lesson, and I gave him a lesson. I really enjoyed it. I really like teaching. I enjoy it very much, so that'll be fun.
You can fall back on that if it need be.
Yeah.
Trey Anastasio is our guest. Speaking of, I guess it's your daughter, Eliza, you actually wrote a song on here with her. And I don't know, Tom Marshall maybe should be looking for a day job. Maybe she's pretty good.
That's my other daughter. That's my 11-year-old daughter, Eliza.
It's a song called Goodbye Head. How did it come about?
I was trying to write a song about perspective. And she went by on her Razor, one of those little scooters. Everybody's rolling around in my house on wheels all the time. But and just threw this line at me about, the line is, don't you know the stars in the sky might not even still be there because it takes 1,000 years for the light to reach your eyes from way up there in the big blue sky. And from the mind, she was 10 at the time, and only a 10-year-old would be able to just toss that out. That was exactly the point I was trying to make.
Goodbye head, goodbye knees, goodbye all you see there. Don't you know the stars in the sky might not even still be there? 'Cause it takes 1,000 years for the light to reach your eyes from way up there in the big blue sky. Goodbye hands, goodbye feet, goodbye all I depend on. Goodbye stuff, goodbye things, this is what all along. 'Cause it takes 1,000 years for the sound to reach your ears from way up there in the big blue sky. 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 In the big blue sky.
Explain a little bit about how the process and the form of this song came together, because it's kind of cool. I mean, it's not something you would normally necessarily just think of off the top of your head.
Well, that might have been that might lead back to your original question about the concept of the record. I have been trying to bring all these different musical elements together, On that particular track, there's, I think, about maybe like a 30-piece orchestra. But I always think that I love orchestral music. There's been lots of times when I've been to symphony concerts and I've thought that I wish that people could move a little bit more, or that you could combine the sort of fun energy of a rock concert with the sonic and harmonic elements of orchestral music. And so that's what I was trying to do on this. I was working with a guy named Don Hart, who's a great arranger. And we did some things where we would improvise, and then he would write a string arrangement to the improvisation. We'd kind of sit and talk about it. Then I would turn off the guitar in the studio and re-improvise based on while listening to the arrangement. So that it sounds like the strings are integrated into the arrangement and not padding. There have been plenty of rock bands that have used orchestral bits and pieces, but it usually sounds like background padding.
Like you could have played it on a keyboard.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just kind of window dressing. And this is supposed to, or it's an attempt at least, to integrate all the musicians.
There you go. That is Goodbye Head, a co-write between my guest Trey Anastasio and his daughter Eliza, and her college fund just got bigger, so congratulations to her. You know, sometimes I interview people and they have a solo career and they kind of divorce it from their band career and they don't, you know, do songs interchangeably. You see it all as a sweep, everything you've done, it's all part of the same Trey thing. It doesn't really make any difference.
Not really, no. Yeah. Ultimately, I do, at this point in time, despite that there was everything that happened in the last couple of years is a little jarring, I think, especially for our fans. And we were blessed with the greatest Fish had the greatest fans of any band ever, and that's pretty. There's no question about that. Mm. So I felt kind of bad that it was the way that last 2 years went was a little, like I said, a little jarring. It was important though, had to happen. But now that we've sort of dealt with our problems, in my heart, hope that everybody can have it all. You know, you can have the solo career, you can have the band, and that's what I'd really like.
Yeah,
so,
I've heard some of the things you said. You seem much softer on what's going to happen. This is not going to happen. This is, it might.
Yeah, I don't think we could have extracted ourselves from the giant structure that we had created without using that kind of strong language, because we had tried 2 years earlier to say, well, we're going to take a break. Can we make this whole thing a little smaller? And it didn't really happen. So then I was like, all right, everybody go home now. And they did. And it all seems very different now than it did a couple of years ago.
Like you said, he's got one employee at the record company. So
yeah. He's a good one though.
What are you going to play next?
I'm going to play a song off the new album. I'm going to play Dragonfly now. If your dream's all gone, your feet on the ground, why not aim up into the sky? 'Cause it feels all right with your boots and your dragonfly. Dance all night, spin all around. I'm just looking for some peace of mind, and it feels all right with your boots and your dragonfly. If your dream's all wrong, I know you can fly. Why not aim up into the sky? 'Cause it feels all right with your boots and your dragonfly. Don't sit home and get out of line. Spin all around and you'll be fine. 'Cause it feels all right with your boots and your dragonfly. 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 Send your dragonfly. Boots and your dragonfly. Boots and your dragonfly. Boots and your dragonfly.
Trey Anastasio, that's a fave of mine from the new one, Bar 17. Bar 17 has some artwork of yours on the cover, and it has a note about the Seven Below Arts Initiative inside, which seems to be a Vermont thing. Well, tell me about that.
That is actually becoming the most exciting part about this whole cycle that we're going through right now. I'm working with my sister on this. She's now the head of my philanthropic wing, and we're working together. It's been incredibly exciting for me to work with her. But what's going on is we've been raising money the original idea was to be sort of a patron of the arts. We were going to support a visual artist who would live in the barn for the next year. And then that person would subsequently teach at Vermont schools, and it would just help the whole Vermont community. So the album is a benefit for that, and this whole entire tour and that guitar lesson you were talking about, this is all to raise money for this project with the artist in the barn. He was at the concert last night. Lars Fisk is the guy who's going to do it, and, as were many of the people from Burlington. And they have now come up with this idea about turning that area around the barn into like an artist collective, where people would sort of live and cross-pollinate. And it's a very cool idea. I'm really excited about it because it's a creative space. The barn itself is like a work of art, and everything that's ever happened there has been sort of charged with an extra amount of energy. And so that's the direction we're going in right now, that we would raise money and we would support a group of artists in Burlington who would then go from their own little projects into teaching students, or even maybe even doing projects with Vermont school teachers who would then go on and help the students. So that's what's happening up there right now. And it's a lot of excitement, and hopefully it'll go well.
That's a great idea.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's modeled after there's places like that exist, and we're kind of looking at websites and doing them.
It's getting bigger again, Trey.
What is it?
You know, the whole...
Oh, yeah.
They're at the barn.
So what you're saying is I'm going to be back here and you're saying, forget it, I quit. Everybody...
I don't think so. I think you're doing it in a different...
You know, I had this band, Oysterhead, you know, with Stuart Copeland and Les Claypool. You know what Les's nickname for me was?
What?
A Johnny Flip-Flop. So I don't know what I'm going to say next.
Well, I think it's Stuart has been saying, yeah, we want to play together more, right?
So he does. We played at Bonnaroo with Oysterhead. Yeah. It was great. I thought it was more exciting than the first time. He sounds so good. I mean, he's always been great. We're talking about Stuart Copeland here, but he's now playing a lot. He's got a group called Orchestrali, which is like an electric orchestral combo. And so he's playing a lot of drums, and I think he sounds better than ever. Wow. He's, in my opinion, probably just about the greatest rock drummer who's ever lived.
So so what do you want to finish up with?
I'll do one off the last album. I'll do the title track. I'll do Shine.
Cool.
You know, all of you know, to grow, what to be on, and so follow below. You are what you lean on. Come out of the cold and drift in still water. Whoa. And the light shines on what we all ride on. When the days come and gone, you know we all ride. Lines figure the ground. You surf, and it's real. To soar over and down, to bend and to breathe on. Oh, and the light shines on what we all ride on. When the days come and gone, you know we all ride on. Through water when, beyond falling, with sounds of bells all ringing out, we'll ride on. Flipped over the blue lining, the spring's alive to circle down. And the light shines on what we all ride on. When the days come and gone, you know we all ride on. And the light shines on what we all ride on. when the days come and gone, you know we all shine on.
Chine finishing up our session. Trey, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's always a treat. Congratulations on Bar 17 and the label and everything. We'll be back in a moment here on the World Cafe. As always, big thanks to Trey Anastasio for joining us. Bar 17 is the new album.